Welcome back, everyone. Ready for another deep dive?
Always ready to dive in.
Great. Today, we're getting hands-on with plastic.
Sounds interesting.
We're going to be looking at how it's actually made, focusing on two processes that are all around us, even though we might not always realize it: extrusion molding and injection molding.
Ah, the dynamic duo of plastic manufacturing.
Exactly. Whether you just like knowing how things work, or maybe you're even thinking about making your own product line someday, understanding these processes, it's surprisingly useful knowledge.
I think a lot of people would be surprised to learn just how much of our daily lives are touched by these two processes.
Right, and what's fascinating is how each process, they cater to different needs. With extrusion, it's like this continuous magic trick. You get this endless line of plastic pipe just appearing from the machine.
Like it's being pulled from thin air.
Yeah, that's extrusion holding in action.
It's definitely a sight to behold, especially when you consider the sheer volume of pipes, tubes, and films needed in industries like construction and packaging.
Makes you appreciate that continuous flow, huh?
Absolutely. Extrusion is all about high efficiency and consistent output.
It's the workhorse of the plastic world.
Exactly.
But then you've got injection molding, which feels more like this intricate dance between molten plastic and those precision molds.
It's a very different approach. With injection molding, you have the ability to create much more complex shapes with incredible detail.
Like a smartphone case.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Think about all those curves, buttons, and precise cutouts. That level of intricacy, that's where injection molding really excels.
So when we say a process is suitable for simpler shapes, what do we actually mean? Got an example of a product that's perfect for extrusion molding.
Oh, absolutely. The classic example, PVC pipe. It's a pretty simple shape, consistent cross-section. And extrusion is perfect for this because you can just keep making it continuously with very little waste. Set the mold, feed in the plastic, and out pops pipe after pipe.
So if I'm picturing this right, the extruder is kind of like a pasta maker, right? Takes raw plastic, melts it, and pushes it through a shaped opening to get that continuous form. And you're saying this is incredibly efficient. Like, how efficient are we talking?
Well, we're talking hundreds of meters of product every hour. That kind of output that's essential for industries that rely on mass production,
Okay.
construction, packaging, you name it.
Wow. And I'm guessing that efficiency translates into some serious cost savings, right?
You got it. The process itself is simple, the output is high, so it's a very cost-effective option, especially for large production runs. Plus, you're minimizing waste, which also contributes to the cost-effectiveness.
So we've got efficiency, cost effectiveness.
And to a degree, it's eco-friendly.
Sounds like extrusion molding really has it figured out, at least when it comes to simpler shapes. But then we have injection molding, which you said is all about that complexity and precision. What's a real-world example where injection molding is absolutely crucial?
The electronics industry. Think about those intricate components inside our phones, laptops, and gadgets. That level of precision, those tiny details, it would be impossible to achieve with extrusion.
Because with injection molding, you can create those parts with incredibly tight tolerances.
Right. And tight tolerances. What that really means is that the dimensions of the molded parts have to be incredibly precise, very little room for variation. Think about a tiny connector inside your phone. It might need to be molded with tolerances of just a few hundredths of a millimeter to ensure everything fits together perfectly.
Got it. So not only can injection molding create complex shapes, but it can do so with this incredible level of precision, which is essential for electronics.
Exactly.
And you mentioned earlier that it's particularly good for smaller batch production. What's the reason for that?
It all comes down to the molds. With injection molding, you're creating a specific mold for the product you want. And that mold can be very complex and expensive to make, especially for intricate designs. But the good thing is, once you have that mold, you can use it to produce thousands, even millions of identical parts.
So the initial investment is higher, but it pays off in the long run, especially for big production runs. But for smaller batches, you mentioned the ability to quickly change molds.
That's a key advantage. Let's say a manufacturer needs to shift from one product to another. With injection molding, they can simply swap out the mold. It's this adaptability that's so valuable for companies that deal with a diverse range of products or need to respond quickly to changes in the market.
So let's say there's a company that makes smartphone cases, and suddenly, boom, there'd be huge demand for a new type of car component. Could they use the same injection molding machine to produce both?
Exactly. They would just need to change the mold. Injection molding offers that flexibility, which is crucial in fast-paced industries.
It's like having a manufacturing Swiss Army knife.
That's a great way to put it.
But I imagine this flexibility comes with a price tag, right?
Well, you are right. Extrusion molds, they're pretty straightforward. Injection molds, on the other hand, especially for those intricate designs, they can be much more complex. Multiple parts, sliding mechanisms, intricate cooling channels, all of this adds to the upfront cost.
So when a company is deciding between these two processes, they're essentially weighing the benefits of high volume and lower cost that you get with extrusion against the flexibility and precision of injection molding.
That's a great way to summarize it. And there are so many factors to consider. It's not a one-size-fits-all situation. What kind of product are you making? How many do you need? What's your budget? All of these things come into play.
Okay, so we've covered the basics of each process, highlighted some key advantages, but let's delve a little deeper into extrusion molding. What makes it so well suited for mass production? And what are some potential downsides companies need to be aware of?
When you think about mass production, extrusion molding,
Yeah.
it really comes into its own. Remember those hundreds of meters of pipe per hour we talked about?
Yeah, that was impressive.
That's really just the tip of the iceberg. We're talking about a process that can run nonstop for hours, days, even weeks on end, just churning out huge amounts of product.
No breaks.
No breaks.
Wow.
That continuous production capability, it's a game changer for efficiency. Think about it. You eliminate all that stopping and starting. No need to constantly mess with the molds. It's streamlined, keeps things moving.
Okay, so for things like pipes, tubes, films, I'm starting to get why extrusion is the go-to. What about the materials themselves? Are there specific plastics that are better suited for extrusion?
Definitely. Plastics like polyethylene, that's PE, polypropylene, PP, and polyvinyl chloride or PVC, they're commonly used. They have this good balance of flexibility, strength, and how they melt, which makes them great for extrusion.
Melt flow characteristics. What does that even mean?
So when you heat plastic and it melts, it's got to flow smoothly and consistently through the extruder, right?
Right.
Different plastics have different melt flow rates, which basically tells you how easily they flow under heat and pressure. PE, PP, PVC, they've got melt flow rates that are just right for extrusion. They can be easily shaped and formed into those long, continuous products.
Got it. Okay, so we've got efficiency, high output rates, material compatibility sounds like a winning combo. But are there any downsides to extrusion molding? Anything companies should watch out for?
There are a couple of things. One is that it's not great for really complex shapes. If you need a lot of intricate details, varying wall thicknesses, extrusion isn't going to cut it. The continuous nature of the process, it makes it hard to incorporate those features.
So if you're designing something super intricate with lots of fine details, you're probably better off with injection molding.
Exactly. Another thing to keep in mind is the potential for slight variations in the dimensions. Extrusion's great for consistent cross sections, but along the length of the product, you might see tiny differences.
Kind of like if you were rolling out dough hard to get it perfectly uniform the whole way across.
Perfect analogy. That's why quality control is so important in extrusion. You have to really monitor the process to make sure the product meets the exact dimensions required. Otherwise, you might end up with pipes that don't quite fit together.
Okay, makes sense. So we've got the ins and outs of extrusion molding. Now let's switch gears and talk about injection molding, the master craftsman of the plastic world. You mentioned before that it's great for those complex shapes and high precision. What are some of the key advantages that make it so good at that?
One of the biggest advantages is just the sheer design flexibility. You can create parts with all sorts of intricate features, undercuts, varying wall thicknesses. The possibilities are almost endless.
It's not just about making something complex, it's about making it complex and precise, right?
Exactly. With injection molding, you can hit those incredibly tight tolerances. That ensures that every dimension of your part is spot on. It's super important for things like electronics or car parts where everything has to fit and function perfectly.
You mentioned earlier that injection molding is particularly well suited for those smaller batch productions. Can you elaborate on that a bit more?
It really boils down to the nature of the process. So you create a mold specifically for the product you want to make. And that mold, especially for those intricate designs, can be quite expensive and complex to produce. But the beauty of it is, once you've got that mold, you can use it to make thousands, even millions of identical parts.
So it's a high upfront cost, but pays off over time.
Exactly. And for smaller batches, the ability to switch molds quickly is really valuable. Say a manufacturer wants to change from producing one part to another. With injection molding, they can just swap out the mold, adapt to whatever the market needs, or if they have a customer who wants something specific. It's that kind of flexibility that's driving things like personalized consumer goods, you know.
Personalized goods? Like what?
Like, you know, phone cases with unique designs or even pieces of jewelry that are one of a kind. With injection molding, you can create these unique molds without breaking the bank. So the possibilities for customization are pretty much endless.
That is pretty cool. It's like having a 3D printer on an industrial scale.
You could say that.
But I'm guessing injection molding must have some challenges too, right?
Yeah.
What are some of the things companies need to be aware of?
The initial investment, for sure, like we were talking about, those injection molds can be really complex and, as a result, pretty expensive, especially if you've got a really intricate design. For smaller companies or startups that don't have a lot of money to throw around up front, it could be a hurdle.
So it's that balance, right? The high upfront cost, but the long-term benefits of flexibility and precision. Any other potential downsides?
Another one is that there's always the potential for defects. Injection molding's got a lot of different variables that can impact the quality of the final product. Things like mold temperature, the pressure used for injection, and the cooling time all need to be just right to prevent things like warping, sink marks, or what we call short shots.
Short shots, what are those?
It's basically when the plastic doesn't completely fill the mold, so you end up with an incomplete part. It could be that there wasn't enough plastic injected, or the pressure was too low, maybe the mold wasn't vented properly.
So it sounds like quality control is super important in injection molding.
Oh, absolutely. Manufacturers have to have really strict quality checks throughout the whole process, starting with the design of the mold, the material selection, all the way to monitoring production. They have to make sure those final products meet the exact specifications.
We've talked about the pros and cons of each process, but let's switch gears for a second and talk about the environmental impact. Plastic waste, it's a huge issue these days. How does that factor into choosing between these two methods?
That's a really important consideration. Both processes do generate some plastic waste, but the amount and the type can really vary. Things like the product design, what material you use, and just how efficient the production process is, they all play a role.
Can you give an example of how product design affects waste?
Sure. Imagine you're designing a simple plastic container. If you design it with thick walls or unnecessary features, it's going to need more plastic, right?
Okay.
That means more waste. But if you design it smartly, using the least amount of material possible while still making it strong, then you can significantly cut down on that waste.
So it's all about designing for sustainability from the get-go. What about materials? How does that tie in?
Choosing the right material, it's crucial. Some plastics are just easier to recycle than others, like PEC, polyethylene terephthalate. It's widely recycled.
Yeah.
It could be used to make new bottles, containers, even clothes.
So if a company really cares about sustainability, they might choose to use PET because they know it's got a good chance of being recycled.
Exactly. And they might even use recycled materials in their production process.
Mm-hmm.
That further reduces their environmental impact.
Sounds like there's a lot to think about when it comes to the environmental impact of these processes.
Definitely. It's an area where there's so much innovation happening, it's great to see. Companies are really working hard to reduce waste, improve how recyclable their products are, and just make the whole process more sustainable.
Speaking of innovation, one of the exciting things we've seen lately is the rise of bioplastics. Can you tell us more about those? How are they changing plastic manufacturing?
Bioplastics are really fascinating. Unlike regular plastics that come from fossil fuels, bioplastics, they're made from renewable sources. Things like cornstarch, sugarcane, even algae.
So they're basically plant-based plastics.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. And one of their biggest advantages is that they biodegrade. So they break down naturally over time, which could really help to reduce plastic waste and how it impacts the environment.
That sounds amazing. But I imagine there must be some challenges too, right?
There are a few. One is that they're not as widely available as regular plastics, and they can be more expensive. But as they start to produce more and the technology gets better, we can expect that to change.
It's a matter of time and investment. What about how well they work? Are bioplastics as strong and versatile as the regular stuff?
That's the big question. Some bioplastics are just as good as traditional plastics, but others are still being developed. Scientists are working all the time to make them better so they can be used in even more applications.
So it's an evolving field with a lot of potential.
Totally. Definitely something to keep an eye on. Bioplastics could really change how we think about plastic and how we use it.
Now let's talk about automation for a bit. We touched on it earlier, but I'd love to hear more about how it's impacting both extrusion and injection molding. How are robots and computers being used in these processes?
Automation's making a big difference. In extrusion, for instance, Robots are being used for things like loading in the raw materials, keeping an eye on the process, cutting and stacking the finished products. So it's not only making things more efficient, but it's also reducing the chances of human error.
It's like having a tireless, super accurate worker on the line.
Exactly. And for injection molding, robots are often used there to load and unload the molds, take out the finished parts, even inspect them for defects. So then the human workers can focus on the more complex tasks, like taking care of the molds and optimizing the process.
So it's this perfect partnership, right? Robots handling the repetitive stuff that needs a lot of precision, and humans making sure the overall process runs smoothly and that the quality is top-notch.
That's the idea. And that teamwork, it's leading to some incredible progress when it comes to efficiency, quality, and even sustainability.
We've gone deep on the technical side of things, but let's bring it back to everyday life. What are some of the things we use that are made with these processes? What are some common examples of products made with extrusion and injection molding?
You'd be amazed how many everyday things are made this way. Extrusion, for example, is used for things like plastic bags, the film they use for food packaging, pipes, even window frames.
Wow, so it's all around us. What about injection molding?
Injection molding, think about things like your smartphone case, toys, car dashboards, even medical devices.
It's amazing how much these processes are used.
It really is. And with technology constantly evolving, I think we can expect to see even more innovative ways to use both extrusion and injection molding.
Okay, before we wrap up this deep dive into the world of plastic, I want to touch on something you mentioned earlier, the idea of consumer responsibility. We talked about the responsibility of companies to make things more sustainable, but what about us, the people buying and using these products? What can we do to make a difference?
That's a great question. And I think it's crucial to remember that every time we buy something, we're kind of voting for the kind of world we want to live in.
So our choices as consumers have power.
They absolutely do. We can choose to buy things made from recycled materials. We can support companies that are trying to be more sustainable. And we can just try to use less plastic overall. Even small things, like bringing our own bags to the store or choosing products with less packaging. They can make a difference.
It's all about being conscious consumers and making choices that align with our values.
Exactly. And as more and more people start thinking this way, it sends a clear message to companies that sustainability matters.
It's a team effort. We all have a role to play.
For sure. And together, I believe we can create a future where plastic is still a valuable material, but one that's used responsibly and sustainably.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground today. From the technical side of extrusion and injection molding to the environmental impact and what we can do as consumers. But before we wrap up, I want to go back to something you said earlier, the idea that plastic itself isn't necessarily bad. Can you expand on that a little bit?
I think it's important to remember that plastic, it really is a remarkable material. It's lightweight, durable, and you can mold it into just about any shape you can imagine.
It's changed so many industries.
Exactly. Think about healthcare, for example.
Yeah.
So many medical devices are made of plastic. Syringes, prosthetic limbs, it's essential. And the food industry, it helps keep food fresh longer, reduces waste.
So it's not about getting rid of plastic, it's about using it wisely and finding ways to deal with the negative side effects.
Exactly. And that's where all this innovation comes in. There are amazing things happening in areas like bioplastics, recycling, and how we manufacture plastic in a more sustainable way.
So there's hope for the future of plastic.
I definitely think so. It's got a bright future. But it's up to all of us, companies, consumers, inventors, to work together to make sure that future is a sustainable one.
I love that. It's a great reminder that we can all play a part in making things better for our planet. It's mind-blowing when you think about it. Extrusion and injection molding, they're behind so many things we use every single day. We've talked about pipes and films and phone cases, medical devices. The list just goes on.
And it's not just everyday stuff either. These processes, they're also essential for things like infrastructure, transportation, even aerospace. Plastic, it's everywhere.
It really is, which makes me wonder what's next? What's coming down the pipeline in plastic manufacturing? Any cool innovations on the horizon that could change how we think about and use plastic?
Oh, there's so much happening. It's an exciting time. We already touched on bioplastics, which are a huge leap forward when it comes to sustainability. But there are other really cool developments too. One area that's really promising is how they're starting to use artificial intelligence, AI, in plastic manufacturing.
AI in manufacturing sounds futuristic.
It might sound like sci-fi, but it's already happening. Imagine AI systems that can analyze data from the production line in real time, optimizing things like temperature, pressure, and cooling times.
Right.
all to make sure they're producing the highest quality products with as little waste as possible.
So AI could make these processes even more efficient and even more sustainable.
Absolutely. AI can also help predict potential problems before they even happen, preventing those costly shutdowns and making sure that the products are consistently top-notch. But here's where it gets really interesting. AI can also be used to design entirely new types of plastics with specific properties.
Wait, so we're talking about AI not just helping with the process, but actually creating new materials.
That's right. Imagine AI algorithms sifting through mountains of data about chemical structures and their properties, finding those special combinations that could lead to stronger, lighter, more durable plastics, or even get this self-healing plastics.
Self-healing plastics, that's incredible. What else is on the horizon?
Another area that's getting a lot of attention is additive manufacturing. You might know it better as 3D printing.
Yeah, 3D printing. I've heard of that.
It's been around for a while, but it's mainly been used for prototyping and making things in small batches. But as the materials get better and the technology improves, 3D printing is becoming a real possibility for making things on a larger scale, even with plastics.
So instead of making a mold and injecting or extruding plastic into it, we could actually just print the object layer by layer.
Exactly. It opens up so many possibilities when it comes to complex designs, making things exactly how you want them, and even manufacturing things on demand. Imagine being able to design a phone case that's totally unique to you, or if you need a replacement part for something, you could just print it right at home. No need to wait for it to be shipped or worry about it being out of stock.
That would be amazing. It does sound pretty futuristic, but 3D printing, it's got to have some downsides, right? Can it really compete with the big guys like extrusion and injection molding when it comes to speed and how much it costs?
That's the big question. Right now, 3D printing is generally slower and more expensive, especially if you need to make a lot of something. But, and this is key, the technology is changing so fast. The printing speeds are getting quicker, the costs are going down, and they're coming up with new materials all the time. It's going to be interesting to see if 3D printing can overcome those hurdles and become a real competitor to the traditional ways of making plastic.
It sounds like we're on the verge of a whole new era in manufacturing.
It's definitely an exciting time to be watching all this unfold.
Okay, before we sign off on this deep dive into the world of plastic, let's give our listeners something to think about. We've explored extrusion and injection molding, the technical stuff, what it means for the environment, and even what the future might hold. But there's one thing we haven't really talked about directly, something that's super important to all of this.
Here's a thought to chew on. We've talked about how companies have a responsibility to make things more sustainable, to think about their environmental impact. But what about the consumer? What about you listening right now? What's your role in all of this? What can you do to make sure the plastic has a positive future?
That's a perfect point to end on. It's easy to feel overwhelmed by how big the plastic industry is and all the problems that come with it. But like we've been saying, every choice we make, every product we buy, it matters. We have the power to support companies doing good things, to choose sustainable options, and to speak up for change.
You're absolutely right. Your choices matter. Stay informed, be mindful of the choices you're making, and keep learning about this amazing world of plastic and how things are changing.
That's a wrap on this deep dive. Thanks for joining us as we explored the ins and outs of extrusion and injection molding. We hope you learned some new things and maybe even got inspired to think a little differently about the plastic all around us. Until next time, keep those brains buzzing.